This is Phil Rowe on Cambridge 105 Radio.
I'm delighted to welcome back somebody who's worked with us on Cambridge 105 Radio a few times now. Always nice to see her, and somebody, well, I think she says it's her third time on the radio, so hopefully not too nervous this morning. Andrea's here, Maraskus. Am I saying that right?
That's right. Perfect. Well done.
Back of the net first time. And Donna Talbot was rather easier to say. Ladies, welcome to both of you from the Arthur Rank Hospice Unit here in Cambridge. Time has moved on so much since I think I've probably only seen you about as a fundraising team for Arthur Rank about once since you moved to Shelford Bottom. It might be twice. How long ago was that now? I think you've been established in there for about 18 months?
Yeah, we have. That's absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
We celebrated our birthday there in last November, and it's been an amazing year. And this year, obviously, continues to be challenging to raise the funds that we need every year. But the patients really do value the care that we can provide and the facility in which we're providing that care now as well. The family apartments have been really welcomed by those patients, families that are needing to stay with us for short periods of time. And the bistro itself has become a real success. People are often popping in to have a tea and cake with us, a spot of lunch. Our Saturday morning brunches and our Sunday lunches are proving very popular.
I haven't been yet myself, and we know about it. So it's been flagged up, and people say, oh, you and I sort of live fairly near to Shelford Bottom, and you hear the community around Great Shelford, Little Shelford, Newton, Harston and Stapleford saying, oh, you must really pop down there because Sunday lunches are really good. And of course, you just welcome the public to come in and patronise your bistro.
Absolutely. Many people are quite surprised to know that the bistro is just an open facility. We always saw the new hospice being a hub of the community. We recognise that to be able to fund the care that we need to deliver every day, we need the support of the community to do that. And we really wanted the community to feel very much linked with the work of the hospice. And I think a lot of people have been pleasantly surprised. Naturally, people would be nervous about visiting a hospice. There's the connotations that it's always associated with delivering care to people that are dying. And actually, so much of our care is about focusing on the living, on making sure that people have really good quality of life for the time that they do have remaining. And a lot of the work that we do is around symptom control, which might be stabilising a patient's symptoms so they can leave a really good quality of life before needing maybe more intense care that we can also deliver both at the hospice and in people's own homes.
And people can take a dip in health sometimes, can't they, Donna, where in fact they will improve and they will be able to get out of the hospice. That does happen quite a lot. People think, well, it's just a one-way door. You're in. I'm not going to survive now. I'm on a pathway, I think is one of the medical terms they use, to comfortable, but I'm afraid to my end. But it isn't necessarily slow, is it?
Not at all. Yes, not at all. I think many people are really surprised, actually. And sometimes that comes a bit of a shock for the families to actually see the patient improve and stabilise their condition. And for some people, they live, as I say, quite a normal life. Now, that's obviously not the case for everybody, but around 50% of the patients that we care for at the hospice do return home. And that might be to receive continued care, or that might be because their health has plateaued and they can continue at that level.
The condition's improving.
Absolutely. So it's really about us just making sure that we're aware what patients need our services. We always assess patient on patient need. Naturally, there are always peaks and troughs to the care. There is occasions when there are waiting lists, but we really do try to make sure that people who are known to us, who have made themselves known by referrals through GPs, district nurses, are always at the centre of our attention and making sure that we're there for them at the right time in their trajectory of care, really.
And you were at Brookside, as we said, until about 18 months ago. When did Arthur Rank Hospice start?
So we actually formed back in 1981, and that was with the original hospice, as you say, on Mill Road. And it was a wonderful home to us for over 30 years. We had a great history there, and I think it's still true to say that we left with a very heavy heart when we did move on. It had lots of memories for us, and we didn't underestimate the poignancy of the hospice itself to those that we had cared for there. And we've been able to bring much of that to the new hospice. We've got this most terrific glass sculpture at the new hospice, which documents our history to some degree, recalling some of the names of the wards and the special places that we had at the original Arthur Rank house. And so we'd welcome people to come down to the bistro just to view that, if they'd like a little trip down memory lane, as it were.
Yeah, and also we've got far more room now. The planning that went into the new resource, the new building, you feel you have enough room where you are? I mean, there are Are there any plans to do an expansion?
There are always plans. We'd always love to do more. Our care is constantly evolving. And I think, you know, we don't underestimate that we're right for what we're doing now, but we're constantly looking at new ways that we can bring our care more so into the community, how we can interact with more people, and just understanding that the way that people require care constantly changes. So things that we would have done maybe 10, 20 years ago are probably very different to the way that we would deliver care now. So much of what we do is around supportive, rehabilitative care. Focusing on the really positive aspects and making sure that we're thinking greatly about well-being and holistic care in terms of looking after the families as much as the patient. And I think that will always continue to evolve. As we know, you know, treatment of cancer continues to evolve, but we're also dealing with patients who've got dementia, Parkinson's, motor neurone disease. So the list does go on, and sadly all of those illnesses and other things like them are no doubt likely to come into the forefront in the years ahead.
Brings us round to talking about money, that all-important resource, the cash flow that you need all the time. And thanks to people over the years, of course, it means that you as a charity have been able to thrive. £300,000 has been made by the event that we're about to talk about alone. We're going to be bringing in Andrea to talk about this in just a moment. You used to call it the Starshine Stroll. It's been running for 10 years. It's been based at the Davy Field, the Shelford Rugby Club on Cambridge Road. I've been going along, I think, for about the last 3 or 4 years to the event, actually, see what you do down there. We're going to be lighting up the night in May, though, Andrea.
Yes, we are. 19th of May. So we are celebrating our 10th anniversary of the Starshine Night Walk this year. We are going to have a neon theme throughout the occasion. And we have a 10 or 6 mile walk in which people can participate. We've also put the time back a little bit this year.
Yes, I noticed a later start.
Yeah, later start this year, 9 o'clock, just to add to the ambience, really.
And so we're all going off in the dark this
indeed, time. Indeed, yes. Indeed. After we've had a lovely warm-up, there'll be a warm-up on the evening as well. And we have 9 lovely sponsors that have sponsored a mile marker along the main route for us. And those mile markers will be lit up on the night. If I can just run through the sponsors, if you don't mind.
Yeah, because there's, you know, obviously good organisations that are helping you out. I see one of them is Scudamore's.
We have Scudamore's, yes. Lovely supporters of ours. So Scudamore's have sponsored a mile marker along with Clip and Climb in Cambridge. And we've also got Premier Travel and Final Finish Flooring of Sawston. We've got Claire Jones Floral Designs of Camborne and local estate agents on Cherry Hinton Road. And we've got Lucy Farini, who is a baby photographer, specialist baby photographer.
Well done to all these people.
And finally, we've just got the Regency Cakes as well. I must mention Regency Cakes because they have agreed to donate a lovely celebration cake for us as well. So we can't wait to see that. Very excited about that.
So this year, I'm intrigued because you've got some extra special lights to pathfind the route for everybody. We mentioned there's a 6.5 mile walk or a 10 mile walk. Or if you feel like you're on your way around the 10 mile walk and you feel a bit laboured, so you just want to turn back into the 6.5 mile walk, nobody will mind at all. It's all about sponsorship and
that's
turning
right.
up on the night as well. But this year, as I say, you're going 2 hours later than you were before.
We are.
And generally you would be from 7 o'clock to some of the stragglers would be back. I shouldn't call them stragglers, really. They really enjoy themselves till 10 o'clock. But now we're leaving at 9 o'clock. Could be back as late as midnight. So we're going to be going in darkness this year.
Yeah.
And so what shall we tease the listeners of what they could expect on the route in terms of the luminaires, or is it all a little bit secret and we won't want people to find out?
Well, I think for us, the people that light up the route most for us are our marshals. We couldn't do what we do without our wonderful marshals.
Beaming people, yes.
Yeah, and we're working with them this year to see how they might be able to help us do that as well. So as well as some of the visual aspects of it, there's just making sure that we've got the life and soul of the party continuing on the route, really. And our marshals really do bring that to the event. And we'd welcome, if other people are keen to find out more about the walk and become volunteers themselves, we'd always love to welcome new volunteers. We've got absolutely excellent regulars that come back every year for this and other events that we do. But we always want to embrace the welcome of new people to us, to be able to share in the event, really, and to be able to share in the success of the funds that are raised too.
Great help from the Army cadets who come every year, complete with their leader, and they get drilled. And also RayNet, we should mention them as well,
yes.
Which is a radio emergency network service. Again, volunteers, amateur radio, ham radio operators. They set up base station just around the corner from where you are, and a complete radio communication with a whole course as everybody goes around and checks that there are no back markers. One safety thing, though, if people want to take part, they can find the forms already online, and it's at Starshine Nightwalk this year. We're calling it the Nightwalk, so it's starshinenightwalk.co.uk. It's a brand new website, complete with one word for Starshine Nightwalk. Go there, and it's wonderful what you've done with the web authoring, ladies, or whoever's developed the site for you, because this year it's the Starshine Nightwalk, and it just lights up before your very eyes if you go on your tablet, your portable device and computer. It's got some excellent photography on there. Go and have a look at it whenever you can, whenever it's safe to do so. Right now, if you can, for this particular walk. Already the entries are coming in, I guess?
Yes, so we have 257 registrations. Wow. At the moment. We're expecting in excess of 500 participants, which is not unusual at this event. But anything above that would be super, as it is our 10th anniversary. So we are going all out to make this occasion really special for our participants.
And we're raising sponsorship as well.
Indeed, yes.
Now, previous years, it's changing, I know, because originally, and I can understand why, it was all-female event. But in recent years, we've changed that, haven't we?
Absolutely. We've found that actually it's an event that families really want to do together. So over the last few years, we've welcomed men as well as women. And I have to say, men have gone to as much effort with their dressing up as well as women.
It's the pink feather boas, isn't it?
It is, I think. But I think what's really lovely is we encourage people to come in their own theme. I mean, this year we've gone with neon, so we'd really encourage people to come with a neon theme. There will be merchandise to buy on the evening as well, mm-hmm. and they can pre-order that at the time of booking, which is really great. But we really do love seeing people go the extra mile, really, and pull together some great outfits. It's a great photo opportunity. One thing we must say is, sadly, we can't welcome dogs on the route. So it is one thing that we do say, please, no dogs. But family members, that would be great. We've had children in buggies before.
Prams, pushchairs, buggies.
We appreciate it's a bit later this year, so it may not work for every family, but we really do encourage families, all generations, to get behind the event and come down and support us.
And you get a T-shirt as well if you take part.
Indeed you do.
And on the back you can write, I'm running for my, or walking we should say, it's only a stroll, it's not competitive, there's no time tagging on the route, for my gran or my granddad, somebody that you remember.
Indeed.
Who you may have lost, who have had
and
some
end-of-life
care.
And that aspect of it, I think, is really why we're all there. You know, that everybody that is there is taking part to raise funds for a great cause, but ultimately to remember someone very dear to them. And I have to say, it does touch your heart when you read some of the messages that are on the back of the T-shirts. Some people write the most fabulous things. Some people choose to pin a photo of their loved one to their backs as well. And I think you can't forget that as you're walking around. Just what a fabulous opportunity for these people to come together to celebrate the life of this special person that they've known.
Little warm-up before we start, isn't there? And a bacon roll when you finish.
Indeed, and some hot chocolate. Some much-deserved hot chocolate for those with a sweet tooth as well.
A little reward at the end.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. More details on the event then. Let's see if we can get well above the 300,000 that's been raised in previous years. We'll give you a telephone number as well, so if you can get hold of the team, if you want to contact Arthur Ranks Hospice Charity. It's Cambridge number 675-888. Go on the website and find that as well. So it's 01223-675-888. And you're encouraging people this year to use social media with also Twitter. The hashtag is there, Starshine2018. And you can hashtag your posts there as well about the day and the event leading up to, on the day, and afterwards. And there's plenty of pictures as well, which you're sharing with everybody.
Indeed.
From previous years.
And we'd love, if people have planned their outfits, we'd love to have a preview of those ahead of the day. It would be wonderful if people would show, just give us a taste of what they might be wearing on the evening. And really do encourage others to come along. I think we've talked a lot about families, and it's important to remember that families are, you know, our primary source of patients and care. But at the same point, we do a lot with the local businesses in the area. And sadly, many businesses have been touched by a loved one, by an employee that has been sadly cared for at the Arthur Rank Hospice Charity. So a lot of local businesses choose to support this event as well and come out and do it as a team building opportunity, really, to get a group of colleagues together. It's really good fun. And obviously, if people want to formalise that support, there is obviously sponsorship opportunities that are still available that can be tailored to those individual companies as well. We, as an event, want to see as much of the money raised as possible going towards patient care. So if any companies are willing to donate some funds to help us run the event, to contribute to the event costs, we'd be so grateful for their support too.
Saturday the 19th of May, if you've been listening to all of this and taking part. Teams, typically what sort of size? Six? Bigger, if they want to be?
We'd love to have... I mean, we've never really had a really large team, so we'd love to welcome a really large team, but really...
Can
you know,
more than about 10 in the team?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, really?
We'd love to... Yeah, we would love that. And really, you know, for us, as small as the groups are, we just have people walk it. We've had people walking individually, people walking in couples, people walks in six or sevens, and as I say, generations where you might have sort of 10, 11, 12 people. But we really have no limit on that at all. If they're not sure, if they want to find out more about the event, do just ask them to contact the hospice and we'd be delighted to talk them through the event.
And we just have a minute because you wanted to add something on to the end of what we're doing today. An acclaimed author, Robert McCrum, is going to be coming along to Shelford Bottom to your headquarters. Can we call it headquarters, can't we? It's where we do everything from quite literally all your fundraising's done there. You have your desk, your hot desk, and you operate from there as well. Your literary evening is going to be taking place on the Thursday of the 12th of April. It's coming up very soon. Robert McCrum, his book is Every Third Thought. He's going to be coming along, signing books as the author. So
absolutely.
You want lots of people coming along, another fundraising evening for you.
Indeed. It's the first evening of this type that we've hosted. And Robert McCrum has a link to the hospice because his mother, Christine McCrum, was actually one of the original almoners at the original hospice. So Robert's always been very warm to the charity and the hospice actually features in this particular book. So we'd welcome people who maybe have had a link with the hospice over years gone past, who are keen readers of books, who maybe attend book clubs, to come along to this particular evening. It's £15 per person. We've got some drinks and nibbles on arrival, and then there will be a lecture followed by an opportunity for questions and answers. And for those that maybe haven't visited the hospice before, just an opportunity to come and see what we've got on offer, really.
Tickets available on a first-come, first-served basis. I'd imagine it's going to be very popular that
Indeed.
Evening. Across the year, you're going to be having other events we haven't really got time for today. We'll be blowing bubbles again over at Huntingdon. maybe we'll talk about some of those events when we have a little bit more time. But ladies, thank you both very much for coming in to talk to us today on Cambridge 105 Radio. Very much indeed. We'll have you maybe come back and talk more about some of the events that are taking place over the year. How much do you reckon you net as a charity over the year? £300,000 has been netted. One final question for you. Across the year, I mean, income is vital. If
absolutely.
You don't know the answer, don't worry. Andrea's sort
for
of treading it.
As a charity, we will need to raise around 7.45 million this year.
Just to
so
sort of stay still, if you like.
Just to continue to offer the services that we are offering. We work really hard to do that. A contribution of that comes from the NHS. We do naturally get a contribution from them, which is around 50% of that value every year. But really, we couldn't do what we do without the support of the community. And many of the services are purely funded through charitable donations alone. So without the support of the community, we really would struggle to deliver the care to the standards that we can and across the breadth of the county in the way that we do. So we'd just like to continue to thank everybody for their support. And that goes out to Cambridge 105 Radio as well for supporting us so well and getting really behind Starshine Stroll, well, now Starshine Nightwalk, and our many other events throughout the year. So thank you.
Oh, shucks. Thank you, ladies,
thank
very
you.
Much. Donna and Andrea. Andrea Moraskus and Donna Talbot, fundraising, part of the fundraising team. You're expanding in that department as well, I have to say, with the Arthur Rank Hospice charity based here at Shelford Bottom here. Oh, very near to Cambridge, just on the boundary of the city, where city meets Twixt, next to Gogmagogs, really, and Wanderbury. You probably know where they are, near to Bayburn Park and Ride. Go and give them a visit there as well. Go along and support them for this year's what was called Starshine Stroll. Find out more on that website, which is Starshine Nightwalk, which is what it's going to be called this year, .co.uk for the event taking place on the 19th of May. Thank you both very much
Thank
for
you.
Coming along this
Thank
morning.
You, Phil.